Hello and welcome. This is Heavy Business. I'm Aaliyah.
And I'm Curtis.
And today we have on our co-host, regular Ian Chaney from Stereo Gum Magazine. Thank you so much for joining us today, Ian.
Hi, thank you so much for having me back.
It's just a pleasure to have you here. And we're going to talk today about scams. Now, Curtis, this is your topic idea, so I'm going to let you take it away.
So there's like probably a few dozen common scams in the music industry. There are some things that could be also legit that sound like a scam that aren't. I'm going to start off with an example of a few years ago. I had a client that reached out to me that said an A&R for a major label that discovered a major band who you guys would all know, and I'm not going to name the name, had reached out to them on Facebook saying that he wanted to sign them to this major label. This was a band who had just released a demo and nothing else, Bandcamp only. And they asked me if it was legit. And of course, right away I went, no, there's no way it's legit. Turns out it was legit, but it is the one and only time I've ever seen this legit where like a big A&R actually approached someone through Facebook saying that they love their Bandcamp and could they please sign them to this major label. Other than that, 99% of the time it's gonna be a scam. But the first thing I wanted to cover here is the common thing where a journalist, quote unquote, will reach out to someone on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or something like that. Let's say they write from Stereo Gum, because Ian's at Stereo Gum, pretty well-known mainstream website for music. And what they'll do is that they'll say that they are the writer. They'll have it in their profile, links to the site and stuff like that, person's picture and everything. And they'll say, hey, for $100, $200, $5, $10, something like that, I'm going to feature you in Stereo Gum or Pitchfork. I know Pitchfork's dead, but whatever. Pay me some money, PayPal me some cash, and your band's going to get written up. This has happened to a lot of people, believe it or not. Happens quite more often than you'd think. So, Ian, since you are the journalist here, and since you have a pseudonym as your profile, since you're probably the perfect person to ask for this, how would someone be able to tell if the journalist was legit?
Wow. Just to state up front that somebody was actually trying to impersonate me.
Yes.
On Instagram.
Perfect.
And it was funny because the account didn't have a profile picture of me because they couldn't find one. And they had like 5 to 10,000 more followers than I did.
Nice.
I was like, come on. including a bunch of people that like I knew that followed this account. I was just like, guys, come on. What are we doing here? So I think just anybody asking you for paid placement via DM is probably not going to be legit in the first place. I would say that is your first clue in on that. Second clue is make sure that they're followed by the place that they're writing for in general. Like on my real account, Stereo Gum actually follows me. It's one of my very few followers, considering how bad I am at social media. And just check to see what their posts are on the feed as well. If they're posting like legit stuff, I think that's going to be pretty easy to ID. So you got to do a little homework to kind of sniff that stuff out. Don't just trust the DM at face value.
Cool.
What do you guys say would be other stuff to add to that?
Well, personally, I think who's following them is key. Not necessarily who they are following, because basically, like you said, they could follow anybody and it doesn't really matter. But like, for example, if Stereo Gum wasn't following Ian, that might be a problem, but it might not be. The other thing I would always look for is, like you said, the profile picture for sure, 100%. Posts are always a key, because a lot of those ones will have something stupid like Bitcoin or like girls in bikinis or something stupid, nothing to do with journalism. I think that's pretty much the key things is like, do the posts add up? The followers add up? Who are their mutuals? And if you check with those mutuals, do they know who that person is? That's always a key thing too, because I've had people reach out to me and say, hey, do you know who Joe Blow is from X magazine? And I'll be like, I have no idea who that is. Sometimes they'll be legit and they'll be a newer writer or just someone I've never run across. I'll always check who they're following, who's following them, and kind of like who's been interacting with them type of thing. What do you got, Aaliyah?
When I see musicians getting fake accounts, or my friend who's like a cosplayer getting impersonator accounts, a lot of times they will like copy the posts from the official account, carbon copy them. So it is really hard to tell. The big indicator, I think, that Ian pointed out, which is really important, is to look at who's following them and to see if it's anybody like with journalists, if their publication is following them, or if it's a musician, see if like the official band page is following them or the record label page is following them. Those are going to be institutions that double check and verify who they're following, and they're not going to follow any accounts willy-nilly.
Generally, yeah. Now, it's not always just for money, I want to point out. Sometimes they want CDs, sometimes they want vinyl. Sometimes they just want to get guest listed to a show. I've seen that happen before too. They're not always going to ask you for cash. Also, one other thing, because I know this has happened to someone I knew, the journalist did not ask for cash up front. They actually sent the person questions for an interview. The person filled it all out and everything like that. And I don't even remember how the heck it actually turned into cash, but somehow money became involved after the fact. So it all seemed very convincing. I think they had to pay for, I think it was like a print magazine, if I'm not mistaken, they had to pay for copies of the magazine or something stupid like that. I can't remember the exact anatomy of the scam because it was a while ago, but there's all these different things that can happen here. There are legit times when you might be asked to pay for something with a magazine. It's pretty rare, but some of the European magazines, they do actually ask you to pay for an interview. Some of the print ones specifically. It's very rare in North America, but there is the odd like German magazine that'll do it. I don't think anybody in the UK does it, but there's a few of the Eastern European and other European places that will do it, but that's very rare. It's not as common anymore, but you might also get asked to pay to be on a cover mount CD. Cover mount CDs are almost gone nowadays, but it does happen every once in a while. You'll get asked to do, like, I think there's a place in Greece that does a cover mount. I think Zero Tolerance might still do a cover mount. There's a few places that still do them, but with the cover mount, they also give you an ad usually. Sometimes they'll throw in a review or an article, but generally you're getting something in exchange for that money that you're giving. Aaliyah, did you want to add anything on that part?
Festivals also will do that sometimes. Yeah. So yeah. That's one place that could be legitimate. I mean, yeah. Also, you know, make sure that the email is coming from a legitimate email account that's associated with the festival.
Ian, can you think of any more legit times when people might be asked to pay for coverage?
Not so much coverage per se, but I remember when I was briefly doing band stuff, it wasn't a scam, but you would get a lot of bands that would say like, hey, let's do a split, can you pay for everything? And it's like, sure, yeah, I'll do a split and foot the bill for everything. Of course. Why wouldn't I? I do remember when I was doing magazine distribution back in the day, I used to pay to get onto the charts. If it wasn't the New York Times book chart, if it was any of their charts, like it was all paid placement. So publishers would pay out money to make sure that their book would debut at like number one on like USA Today books or something like that. So that's kind of like an old infrastructure that might still be hanging around in some certain places. I don't hear of it, especially in our realm, just because, you know, it's metal. And also, you know, with just journalistic integrity to begin with, like anybody that wants to take gifts or stuff like that is usually not going to be the best journalist. So that's something to look out for as well.
Yeah, especially if they say the no physical copy, no review type thing. I hate that.
100%.
So yeah. I mean, if a journalist asks, you give it to him out of, courtesy, but I'm not going to review your stuff unless you give me a limited edition vinyl. You might want to run away, because a lot of times they don't even have permission to do the review and they just take the vinyl and run. I've had that happen too. Okay, so I want to talk about organic playlists, quote unquote organic. I do not know of a single place that actually does organic playlists. Ian, have you ever heard of an organic playlister that is not bots? I have not.
No.
Yeah, I don't think it exists. Maybe it does and I'm just not aware of it. Aaliyah, do you know of any yeah, promotional company will get you all organic Spotify plays.
I have used SubmitHub to get on a couple playlists.
Yeah, they're fine.
But that's not like, they're not guaranteeing any streams or anything.
Yeah.
When you get on those playlists, they're just pitching you to curators.
Yeah.
In a way that, and some curators will only accept like applications for songs through there so that they can kind of filter out and get a way to better organize their submissions, and also to get some kind of compensation for the work that they put into growing a playlist that actually has followers and stuff. So that is one situation in which I think, and there are a couple other services like SubmitHub that are legit.
Those ones are fine. I'm talking about like the, we will get you 5,000, 10,000 streams for $50, $20 or something like that. All organic. We run ads. Like, who's going to run an ad for $25, $30 and get you 5,000 Spotify plays? Like, I mean, it's not legit. Here's a red flag right off the top. There is an add to cart function. This is always the peak of a scam. Anybody who says that they will promote your music and it's add to cart only and they are not checking your music, it's a scam. 100%. Ian, do you want to say something about that? You look like you want to say something about this.
I mean, I'm just amused by the fact that that exists.
The indication is like, they're not going to have you pay for the number of streams. That is the red flag, right? Because you're going to pay a company for a service.
Yeah.
You're going to pay for the hours they put in.
Yeah.
They're never going to be able to guarantee a certain number of streams or a certain number of clicks or a certain number of album pre-orders, whatever. They can't guarantee that. It's not a sustainable business model. So whenever you see that, you can be pretty sure that you're engaging in a scam, right?
Pretty much. Or someone that is slightly unethical, to say the least, if they're not a scammer. Ian, do you want to cover any more on the add to cart thing, or do you have nothing to say on that?
I mean, I've got nothing to say to that yet, unless you're willing to pay $50 and add to cart, and then I'll have a pretty good answer for you there.
You're going to add to cart, do an add to cart opinion. Okay, cool.
Yeah, 100%.
So last thing, I just want to go over the add to cart thing before we talk a little bit more about the playlisting thing is just that goes for pretty much anything in the music industry. If they're not checking your music and they're telling you they can get you certain figures, it's probably bots or a scam or a combination of both. I mean, I guess bots are kind of a scam because they're calling it organic, but at least you're getting a number for it. Which leads me into the next thing that I want to talk about with this. The reason why it's a problem with the botted playlist, Spotify and DistroKid and all the rest of them are taking you down if something like 95% of your streams are found to be artificial. And this is a problem because sometimes unethical playlisters will just add your song to their playlist and you may not even know, and you're getting like 1,000, 2,000 streams. This happened recently to a client of ours. They got 4,000 streams in one day on a death metal song, but they were added to an R&B playlist. So they had to contact Spotify and say, hey, look, we got added to this playlist. We don't know how we got added to this playlist. Please don't take us down because Spotify will ban you nowadays if you do that. And the distro service will as well. So you want to be very, very careful. So anybody who comes to you and says, hey, look, we're going to get you 5,000, 10,000 plays or whatever, 30,000, it's going to be bots. You could very well get taken down from Spotify and it's not going to be good at all.
And even if you get away with it, quote unquote, then that's going to throw off all of your metrics. Yeah. And then your data is going to be worthless. You're not going to know who your target market is anymore. You're not going to know how to target any ads. You're not going to get meaningful fans from that. So there's multiple reasons to avoid it. Even if you think you can get away with it, it's not the best path.
Ian, did you want to add anything to the Spotify scam?
No, but I do think it was canny that band did cover New Edition's Can't Stand the Rain. So, you know, very, very smart to make sure that they hit that R&B playlist. Yep.
Very, very smart. Last thing I want to talk about on the playlist actually is, obviously there are legit playlists out there. Submit to them. We're not saying everything's a scam. It's only if they're guaranteeing numbers for you. Even a playlist that has, like, for example, like 10,000 followers, you're not going to get a guarantee of how many streams you get. I've seen bands land some pretty big playlists from magazines, stuff like that. Only got a couple hundred streams out of it. It's just the way it happens sometimes. Usually the Spotify editorial playlists, they do pretty well, but it's always a crapshoot otherwise.
If you look at how many streams you get, even from a bigger privately owned playlist, you know, it's going to be maybe a few hundred, maybe 1,000, but not much more than that. So still do it. It's still good to have that exposure, but just don't expect 5,000, 10,000 streams from to come from one playlist.
Exactly. Okay, is there anything either one of you guys want to cover on this subject before I move on to the next one?
This might be a little off topic, but Aaliyah, sure. I'm curious. Do you get notifications that people are Shazamming your music?
I don't.
Yeah, like my friend who's in a very traditional heavy metal band keeps getting these emails that people are like Shazamming his songs. And he's just like, how? Like, in what context is somebody out in the world being like, hey, I wonder if this is the band or not? Yeah.
I wonder if he's on, do you know if the band is on TouchTunes?
Interesting. I'll have to check into that. Yeah.
All right. So next thing I want to talk about is management pay per month scams. This isn't just management. This is also an A&R person. Someone from a reputable quote unquote label or whatever headhunts you on Bandcamp and they send you an email saying that, hey, I'm from this big management company. List out a bunch of names of bands you've never heard of. We have tours with bands like, you know, Aerosmith, Motley Crue, all sorts of stuff like that. You don't realize it's a form letter, but it's a form letter. And they actually say, can you send us your music? Because my boss needs to hear it too. And, you know, they lost the link or something like that, right? And of course, you send the music and of course the boss loves it. They all love it. They want to have you on a Zoom call or they want to send you a contract. And it's this nice involved contract where you are going to be paying them $500 per month for their services of pitching you to playlists, pitching you for tours and all sorts of stuff like that. So this is way more common than you'd think. If you go on Facebook, there's probably literally thousands of bands out there signed on management contracts like this right now, where they're paying a quote unquote manager hundreds of dollars, sometimes only $50 to, you know, be managed by them. Ian, do you want to say something on this? You look like you want to say something on this.
I mean, this is a pretty common scam. It goes it's back ages, ages upon ages upon ages. I think yeah. The grift mill of Twitter has made so much easier to facilitate. Yep. But yeah, this is a tried and true one for sure.
So one, Aaliyah, you know a little bit about this. Can you kind of go over the red flags that would be indicative of a management scam?
I definitely have talked to Corey about that. We've talked to other managers about that. So you can definitely find podcast episodes specifically about management and what to look out for. This is another situation where it might be legit, right? Some managers do charge a monthly retainer and they're real people and they really do the work to find tours for you, help you plan your next moves as a band and things like that. The thing is that you need to verify that this is a real person. And like, if it's a manager that works with bands that are friends of yours and you know who the person is, then that's one thing. But if it's a total stranger, then definitely want to look into it. But it's one of those cases where it could be legit too.
Could be. The number one thing I always tell people to look for is, again, the mutuals on Facebook and Instagram. But again, that's not always a good thing because a lot of these guys will friend everybody and anybody they can in the industry. You can't always assume just because someone's friends with someone at Decibel Magazine or Stereo Gum or wherever that they're necessarily legit. Ask those people. A lot of times you'll find out that person has no idea who the other person is, many times. And then you'll ask a bunch of other people because a lot of these people have like 100, 200 friends in the industry. None of those people will have a clue who that person is. That has happened to me many times because I will always background check people. And then you'll find out later that they're a scam. So yeah, the red flags with this management thing is number one is no manager is going to reach out to you if you're not making sales or if you're not playing shows. Nobody is interested in you unless they see extreme potential. The other red flag is as well, there'll be no big bands on the quote unquote management roster. The tours they booked will be very vague and nebulous. They might say that they worked with somebody in Motley Crue back in 1981. You won't be able to verify it. Sometimes you will, but anyways, it's pretty nebulous. Do either of you guys got anything to add to that list of red flags for management scams?
I think this would be like one of the few times that LinkedIn has some utility, right? You can check LinkedIn to see who they're connected
with. Does anybody use LinkedIn?
I mean, I do.
Oh yeah, I connected with you. That's right. I forgot.
Also, like, I think if you check their website, and if the website, how hard is it to find contact information on the website? I think that's a pretty big one that comes up. Also, you can run a Whois on the website to see who is registered to. Is it actually registered to the person at all? You can check into that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Also, on top of that, is what I always do is if I'm ever suspicious that someone is who they say they are, first or has done what they say they've done, I always do a Google search. I'll always put in their company name or I'll put whoever the heck they're associated with. And if nothing comes up, I'm sus. And if I can't find anybody that's heard of this person, sus.
I've had people bring that up on dates that I've gone on. Where
they've been
like,
they can't find you?
No, that they've Googled me. And I'm just like, oh, geez, I am so sorry.
Because I was going to say, you'd be easy to find, dude.
Oh, yeah. It's all legit hits as well. Enjoy my takes on Last Days of Humanity.
Jesus Christ, dude. moving right along here. So labels. So Aaliyah, you want to start with that or you want me to start with that?
Well, I want to just ask, how do you evaluate whether a label is legit enough to work with? Because, I mean, as an independent band, you might get approached by independent labels that maybe they don't work with any huge bands. How do you verify that they are worth working with or not?
I think the first thing that I would do and the first thing that I recommend that bands interested in a label do is contact other bands in the label and see what their experiences are. I think this is the first and foremost thing to do.
I think even before that is number one, are they asking you for money?
Yeah, as well.
Yeah. Number one, are they asking for money? Because a lot of these labels will, I'm not joking. Someone had sent me a contract for a label, quote unquote label. And basically they were asking for like $1,000. And what they were offering was basically to print their CD, the band CDs. And then they still wanted 50% of the streaming royalties or something like that, plus a cut of the merchandise. And they would do PR through a small $50 a month PR company, quote unquote, who would just do an email blast.
Yikes.
Yeah. All stuff they could do on their own. But of course, because they have a label behind them, it's totally worth it, right? You want to kind of take a look at that contract and actually find out where what you're getting. Like if you're just basically paying some Eastern European dude to fucking print 1,000 CDs, which you're not going to sell because you're not going to sell 1,000 fucking CDs. It's not going to happen. Like it's not worth it. So you want to kind of look and see what they're actually offering you. If someone's offering to take 50% of your streaming royalties in exchange for printing your CDs and you still pay them $1,000, $2,000, whatever, it's a scam.
And there are bands that do extremely well without any label. And so that whole question of whether working with a label is even worth it or not, that should factor into your evaluation of any label that offers to work with you.
Yeah. And the other thing too, is one good point that Ian made is always check with the other bands on the label. Check with more than one person always on things. Cause just cause one person had a good experience doesn't mean that six others didn't. And just reversely, just cause one person had a bad experience that and 10 other people did doesn't mean that they're generally a scam. It goes every way. I've had people have a bad experience with us because they didn't like what we got, but I've had like another more people saying that they really enjoyed what they got from us. I've also seen other PRs have the same thing, labels. It happens. So just be very thorough when you're researching, because sometimes you're going to hear the bad shit only at first, and you're not going to hear the good shit. And reversely, you might just hear something good, and you're missing all the bad stuff. Ian, did you want to add to that?
How do you feel about labels wanting to work with you and they don't provide a contract?
With the PR company specifically you're talking about?
Just in general, because I remember in the, this was ages and ages and ages ago, but in the oral history of Botch, they talked about signing to Hydrahead, and Aaron Turner just gave them a contract that was something you scribbled on a bar napkin that said, don't break up.
That's awesome. I always, always, always prefer to have a contract if we can. Some labels will not do that. With us, it's not that big of a deal because we're getting paid by the month anyway. So worst case scenario, it's like, don't bank on the income coming in, you know what I mean? But as a general rule, you know, if someone's not paying their bill for 30, 60 days, I'm probably not going to keep working with them anymore. So for me, that's fine. With a band, though, I think the band should always have a contract with the label 100% of the time. even if it's just something like you said, like the napkin is even better than nothing, right? But I mean, because you don't know what they're after. You don't know if they want your streaming. They don't. You don't know if they want just your physical sales. You have no idea. So you should always make sure to get a contract on anything. The last thing I want to cover just on labels too is also go back and take a look at what other bands have released on there. Like actually listen to the albums and stuff like that. Make sure it fits with your genre, because sometimes I've seen labels who don't quite fit the band's genre, ask them to release on them, and doesn't really work out very well because they don't have the right experience for them and that type of thing. So it might not be a scam, it just might not be the right fit. So just go back, take a look, and make sure that the label's the right fit. Okay, I think we have one last thing to go over, and it is ad scams. So what I'm talking about when I say ad scams is the people that promise you big results on your ads, always 100% of the time. Facebook ads, Instagram ads, probably not Twitter ads, probably just Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube ads. And they promise huge results. You're going to get a billion streams as well, or you're going to sell a billion things. Look at their high click-through rate, blah, 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 blah. 90% of the time, not always, but 90% of the time, these people are targeting places where there's like high volumes of clicks, but you're not going to really get any actual plays or anything like that. If someone's offering to give you a service for your ads, make sure that you know where they're targeting, because a lot of times they won't tell you where they're targeting, and it's just going to be to a third world country that's not going to get you anything in terms of sales or anything legitimate. And it sucks, but that's just the way it is. I think there was one last thing, though. You wanted to bring up something about radio, didn't you?
I mean, that was the back in the day scam for sure. I don't think we see that much anymore, but I remember when I was running a label briefly, we would get emails pretty frequently from people being like, hey, we're getting tons of requests for your artists on our radio station. You know, if you want to add this to the playlist, just send us some bucks and we'll do it. And it's just like our harsh noise release is blown up in Paraguay. Is what you're telling me? Okay, sure. Yeah, believe that.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, that still kind of exists. It still kind of exists to a lesser degree. It's usually, in that case, it's like a scam chart as well, where they're asking for like 15, 20 bucks or something like that. I think I've covered all the scams now, Olya.
Yeah, all the scams that we were planning on covering today.
Yeah.
One thing about radio is, you know, you can always seek out a legitimate radio promoter. That would be the only real way to go. So Munzee Ricci from Skateboard Marketing is very well known for his work in the metal scene. Highly recommend Skateboard Marketing for that. If that is something that you think would be a wise path for you to take, depending on what your music is.
I got a great quote that applies to all this. So this one is from Tom Waits. It's been going around a bit. I think this is just good advice in general, but I think really applies to these scams. Tom Waits says, Jim Jarmusch once told me, fast, cheap, and good. Pick two. If it's fast and cheap, it won't be good. If it's cheap and good, it won't be fast. If it's fast and good, it won't be cheap. Fast, cheap, and good. Pick two words to live by.
I love that.
Great. Well, with that, thank you so much for listening all the way to the end here. And until next time, make like a bull and throw those horns up. And go read The Black Market on Stereo Gum.